Amir la'akum shvus. That's the Gemara that we saw is based on multiple Mishnayos. And you see in Kuf Nun that Amir la'akum is aser, whether it's something which I'm asking the Nachra, I may not ask the Nachra to do something which I cannot do myself on Shabbos, regardless of whether that's for me in a Siddur Aisa or in a Siddur Rabbanim. I said there may be particular situations, a little more Mekal, Shvus to Shvus, but fundamentally, I'm not allowed to ask a Nachri to do what for me would be Melacha D'Oraisa, nor can I ask a Nachri to perform what for me would be an Iser D'Rabbanan, like, for instance, the Mishnah talks about hiring workers. So Sifim Gimel and Dalet talk about, how about asking a Nachri to perform a different Iser D'Rabbanan? To be D'Rabbanan, I'm not allowed to engage in business on Shabbos. I cannot buy and sell it. A gzeira shami yichtov. So the question is, how about to ask a nachri to be my agent? So it's clear that I cannot ask a nachri even before Shabbos, as we've seen with other Amir Akum situations. I cannot even ask before Shabbos, would you please shop for me, buy for me, handle business for me, trade for me on Shabbos. That is the problem. It might be mutter in one of two directions. If I tweak that, k'nei b'shvili b'shabbos is the problem. But I can tweak that one of two directions. One of which appears in Sif Gimel, one of which appears in Sif Dalet. It will actually open by focusing on Sif Dalet. Sif Gimel really relates to some to the end of this siman as well. Sif Dalet is how, instead of saying buy for me on Shabbos, so the two alternatives would either be buy for yourself on Shabbos or buy for me. And no mention of Shabbos. So we'll come back to Sif Gimel, is where you're telling the Nachri to he can do it for himself, and then you may or may not buy for him later. The Sif Dalet is the focus on, I cannot ask the Nachri to shop for me on Shabbos, but I could ask the Nachri to shop for me. I could ask the Nachri to shop for me. Excuse me. That's the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Dalet. Mutar l'asei sa'in Yehudi mos me'er Shabbos l'knos lo. B'vad sh'omer lo k'nei b'Shabbos. I could give a Nachri money before Shabbos, and I tell him I want him, here are items I want him to buy for me. But I'm not instructing him specifically to do the buying on Shabbos. And when he does the buying, that's his issue. That goes back to a couple of directions. That goes back to, in a sense, it goes back to the Sukkah Daf Yutes about being kotzei tzitzchar. Mm-hmm. And if Nachri is performing malacha for himself, that's mutter. So the Aitaita Nafshe, that notion of Aitaita Nafshe really, really goes back to Kuf Chav Beis. You have a Gemara that's technically in the second half of this discussion. It's Kuf Chav Beis is about Hanam and Melachat Akum. In the sugi v'hanam of the second Yisur, the Yisur hanam v'lechas akum, which is going to occupy us when we get to Simon Shin Chafei, so that's rooted in the Mishnah Kuf Chav Beis Amud Aleph. The Nachri lit the Ner, the Nachri built the ramp, Nachri did some halacha or another. If he did it for a Jew, for me or for some other Jews, then I cannot have hanah from it, at least not on Shabbos. Cannot have hanah on Shabbos from Melechas Nachri b'Shvil Yisrael. But if he did it for himself, he turned on the urn, he wants a hot drink. It's the same turning on the urn, whether it's for one cup or for five cups. So that's, he turned the light, he wants the light too. So that's the same light, whether I'm binen as well or not. So that's what the Mishnah talks about that in principle. And then the Gemara, Kuf Chav Beis Amud Beis, the very end of this parak, formulates it with a sharp term. The very last couple of who Nachri Adlek Shraga. The non-Jew, Gemara says Shmuel went to someone's house. there was this non-Jew was there, Adla Traga, he lit the lamp. So Shmuel turns around, Judah Shmuel Ape, Shmuel turns around, doesn't want to be Nana from the Malachas Nachar B'Shur Yisrael. Then came the Chazda, the Icy Shav, Kakari. Shmuel saw that the Nachri, sounds like Nachri had left, turned light, left the room. Shmuel figures, okay, he just did it for the Jews. I can't have enough. But then the Nachri comes back a couple of moments later with reading material. He has a star that he wants to read. He had turned on the light, then he went to get the thing that he wanted to use the light for. The Kakari, he's sitting there reading. So Amar, so Shmuel says, oh, I died to the Nafshe who died it. He lit it for himself. So then Adrina Iula Peg Avashraga. Then Shmuel turns around, faces the lamp, because he realizes this was Melechas Nachri Bishma Atzma. But that notion of Adaita Ninafshe has relevance in the world of not only Hanam and Melechas Atzma, but also what's more properly our topic, which is even the Isser of Amira. Even the Isser of Amir Lanachri. And again, the two solutions that we're providing here are either, I'm going to tell, the sort of both versions of Adaita Nafshe. Sif Gimel is where I tell the Nachri, you could shop for yourself. You shop for yourself. I may or may not, at some point in the future, after Shabbos, may or may not want to buy from you, or you may decide to sell to someone else. You shop for yourself. Sif Dalet, so that's one type of Adaita Nafshe. You do it for yourself. The other type of Adaita Nafshe is he is doing it for me, but the timing is his call. The fact that he's choosing to do it on Shabbos, I say I needed to buy this over the course of the week. I knew you're traveling to China, so I need you to carry this deal for me. I didn't tell you to do it on Shabbos. You want to do it on Shabbos? You do it on Shabbos. So there, it's not that the core act is bidadai tenavshe. He is acting on my behalf, but the choice of timing is Adaita Nafshe. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. To give a Nachri money on Erev Shabbos, I'm giving my money. I'm giving my money to buy for me, Liknos Lo, to buy for me, but I didn't say Knei B'Shabbos. And the Ramah says it could also be where he's selling on my behalf. Motu Liten Lo Begadim Limkar. Seems like Jews have been in the clothing trade for a very long time. So I can hand a lot of clothing to a non-Jewish agent. As long as I don't tell him, as long as I don't give him specific instructions about when. So this is, he looked back in the Beis Yosef and Sif Dalet. Excuse me. This is Ruin the Smak. And this comes up all the time. As we know, this comes up all the time. You're going to ask a Nachri to perform halacha, and he's doing it, it's my item, he's doing it for me, and I'm asking him to do it, but I'm not asking on Shabbos, nor am I specifying he has to do it on Shabbos. That comes up in a lot of situations, that's going to be mutter. So I hire a mechanic, I bring the car into the shop. If he wants to work on Shabbos, it's his business, I don't need it on Shabbos. The caterers, non-Jewish staff, they're staging an event, they're setting up the event, and they may choose to do certain work on Shabbos, I would be fine with them doing it on Erev Shabbos as well. Or they may decide they want to do cleanup, they want to do their cleanup on Shabbos, I would be glad for them to do it on Matzah Shabbos as well. Sometimes it's going to come when you have employees. And the employees need to, you have customer service people, and they need to respond to emails. And you make it very clear to them, you're totally fine with them responding to their emails Matzah Shabbos. If this guy says, I'm not interested in being busy Saturday, I don't need to spend Saturday night at 9 p.m. doing it. I want to take care of it at 2 in the afternoon on Saturday. And he wants to be free on Matzah Shabbos. But if that's absolutely Adaita Nafshe. I mean, he's doing the work for you, but it's very clear. If it's clear to him that you'll be equally happy whether he does the work on Shabbos or Matzah Shabbos, and that's genuine, so that's this kula. That here you have this Nach who's going to be doing business on my behalf on Shabbos, but I didn't ask him to do it specifically on Shabbos. Now the Mishnah Berurah points out, the Mishnah Berurah adds two tweaks, and the end of the Ramah adds a third tweak, the three limitations on this. So the Mishnah Berurah Sif Kan, excuse me, the Mishnah Berurah Sif Kan Tezvav says, well, you need to be We need to be honest here. So then when he says, number one, sometimes it's clear, without saying a word, it's clear because of the situation that you're locked into Shabbos. It says, let's say you have a small town, a small village, where there's only one market day a week. The market day is on Saturday. Everyone goes shopping on Saturday. All the Nachum go shopping on Saturday. That's when everything's happening.
Amazon Prime Day.
Right. Okay, there you go. A modern equivalent. I understand that Paramus is very, very busy on Shabbos afternoons. The blue laws push all of the weekend shopping traffic into Shabbos afternoons. Apparently, I'm told the people who live there that Shomer Shabbos see. They can see walking down the street. The traffic is terrible and the malls are absolutely packed. But even if the malls are busiest on Shabbos, but the malls are open Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday as well. If the shuk is only open on Shabbos, you have a small village, the Mishnah Berurah says, Yom HaShuk Shem B'Shabbos, V'Osa Malkam Eina Motzi L'Kinos, Kibi Yom HaDashuka. It's not that it's just the prime day is on Shabbos. You can't buy these items. You're asking to buy items that aren't available in the grocery stores. They're only available in the market, and the market's only open on Shabbos. In the little village, that's the way it is. So many items are only going to be available on market day. If market day in your area happens to be on Shabbos, Havale Kemaskulo Yom HaShabbos B'Feirish. That's considered to be, that's the equivalent of saying B'Shabbos. In other words, Mishmur is telling us, it's not that the word B'Shabbos is a taboo word. If it's clear to the Nachri, even from context, that he's locked into Shabbos, so then even if you never said Shabbos, but he gives another example. He says, or let's say, I said, look, I need to be on the road Motzei Shabbos. So I didn't tell the mechanic I want him to fix it tomorrow, but I said, I need it back Motzei Shabbos at 9 o'clock. Okay. So then you, as good as told you, you dropped off the car on Friday afternoon. You told him you have a big trip up to Shabbos. You as good as told him that you need to do the work on Shabbos, and that's a real problem. And that's the real problem is that honesty, as the Mishnah Berurah is saying, it's not about the word Shabbos. If you're being merames in the way that you're phrasing things, you said, I need a month of Shabbos, or just from context, from the facts and the ground, from the environment, that request is one that he could only fulfill on Shabbos. You know, in other words, you told them, well, I need it Monday morning, and you know that the bank is closed on Shabbos. The bank is closed on Sundays. Or that the store, Blue Laws, the store you would want him to buy at, is closed on Sundays. And you ask him on Friday. So, well, you put all the pieces together, obviously, the only choice you're leaving him is on Shabbos. So then that's not acceptable.
I mean, those are situations, though, where it's just not even an option to be open on Sunday. You know, like, the Blue Laws prevent stores from being open.
Right.
System to be open. But you gave an example like a mechanic or a dry cleaner or something like that. And I think Ramosha is true about this, but I forget what his discussion is about. But you know, if you have like a situation like that where a mechanic or a dry cleaner and you know they're not open on Sunday, but that's by choice. Like in theory the fellow could be open, but he happens not.
Or Motzei Shabbos, or his hours are 9 to 6.
I need to pick it up on Saturday night.
I want to pick it up Monday morning. He gives it Friday afternoon, I want to pick it up Monday morning.
His hours are 9 to 6 on Saturday, and he's closing.
That's his hour.
So it may depend on whether he's a Baal Bias or not. Because if you go to a mechanic, independent mechanic.
So he's a Baal Bias.
Right. And as a matter of fact, many of these guys who have their own place sometimes do show up on Sunday if they have more work. There are guys in the neighborhood who are usually closed on Sundays, but every once in a while, you drive by, you peek through the window, they're working on Sundays, because there's work the work needs to get done. So then, the fact that they're closed on Sunday is really, that's mamasha, that's an option. But if you're asking an employee of a larger company, say they don't really have any options.
So
right. So that may hinge, they may hinge on that. But you're right, the cases that we're giving here are all external circumstances. Now, I'm asking Christopher to go shop for me, but the shuk isn't open. There's nothing he can do about it. But if he could do something about it, and that's a realistic possibility, he chooses not to. We rely on this kaseder, right? That kula, there's the fact that the nachri, you're asking a nachri to show up for a job, but he does have the, in many cases, he has the capacity to walk, or he has the capacity to stay locally. He has no interest in doing that, and nor would I expect him to have interest in doing that.
So the classic question is by, let's say, U.S. Mail or FedEx. So by law, they have to pick it up.
Right.
So you don't care, pick it up Shabbos, pick it up Sunday, it doesn't make it. Let's say he puts something in the mail on Friday afternoon. Right? You don't care whether he picks it up on Shabbos or on Sunday. But you know he's required to pick it up on Shabbos.
Right, so that's not a day to nafshe. You're asking him.
That's the question. Is it the U.S. government can choose to alter? No, I'm saying.
No, but you're asking this nachri. You're asking that. That's the case here.
Right.
The town could decide to shift the Yom HaShok, but the facts there. Right now, I'm talking with Christopher. I'm not talking with, you know, the entire town's economic system.
So if you put something in the mail on Friday afternoon, you are saying you have to pick it up.
Put something in the mail, assuming that there be Machal Shabbos for your piece of mail.
Correct.
So if, let's say if you're outside the Erev, I'm going to leave mail for the non-Jewish mailman to pick up.
To Philadelphia, so it's for sure going out of the Erev.
Not that
it has an address in Philadelphia. It has to, by law, they have to bring it to the...
Well, you could use FedEx as an example, right? Because you know that they're going to do that, right? So FedEx, you put something in a FedEx package Friday afternoon. And it has to, well, I mean, obviously, if it has to be delivered Saturday morning, then you know that they're...
Right, except the difference is dachos or not
dachos. Here, okay, the question is, FedEx is not a Shiloh. If you say
let's say you're shopping on Amazon. Let's say you're shopping on Amazon. And you're 2-day Prime. And you're going
to
place an order on Thursday.
Right. To be delivered.
It could be delivered Friday.
So that's why I thought that's mutter.
That's easy.
Because
there are exceptions. It doesn't always get there.
You do sometimes get it in advance.
Or later.
But you have 1-day shipping too. You can order what happens if you order on Friday.
And if you order something on Friday with one day shipping, then that's mamish atzivoy to deliver for you
on Shabbos.
Right. But to order 2-day shipping on Thursday to arrive on Shabbos, it does sometimes arrive on Friday. That's mamish atzivoy to nafshe. They have the capacity to arrive on Friday. Matter of fact, it sometimes does arrive on Friday. But the way they organize their systems, they would rather that it typically arrive on Shabbos.
Okay, but going back to the postal service, so if you put it in the mail Friday afternoon, right, to Philadelphia, so they're going to pick it up Saturday sometime. Now, it could be right, in Okanami, it could be that by the time Matzah Shabbos rolls around, it hasn't really gone anywhere. That could be. And you also don't have a right to tell him when to deliver it in regular first-class mail. So right. It could sit in the mailbox for a week. That's his choice. But he's, I guess the question is he doing a malacha? That's, I guess, the question.
Yeah, so that's why the
is he doing a malacha? He may not be doing any malacha.
Often it's not, especially since it's at that point it's all
kind of collected and bring it to central
to the Bergenfield
Postburg.
No, but if it to leave something, if you're outside the area, you leave something in the box for them to pick up, so that's a tzivoy. That's an implicit tzivoy. Again, there's no. That's without Dibor,
right.
But that's an implied tzivoy to
carry.
Yeah.
But beyond them picking it up, there's not much else there. I mean, they're required to deliver it at some point.
But no, that's not happening in Shabbos.
Right. I mean, the only thing they're required to do in a timely fashion is pick it up from the box on the day that it's there.
The reverse is something we should talk about, but not now, which is when the mail comes in on Shabbos. And then sometimes you have a Trum issue. Because typically, mail and packages were outside the term at Knesset Shabbos. But that's a conversation for a different time. Sefer Hasidim, by the way, is a fascinating Mishnah Berurah. I think he's trying to drive home how significant this is. Because people are so, and you see it, unfortunately, where sort of like, I'm not going to say, but I'm going to imply, which is wrong. That's what Mishnah Berurah is saying. If either the implication or even just context, environment, environmental circumstances, you know, lock you into Shabbos, that's the problem. So much so that he quotes a Sefer Hasidim, the very end of Sifkat and Tetzvav, the Samaches, I believe, Sefer Hasidim, Ayadr Adam Be'ir Shiyom HaShoku Shabbos. You shouldn't even live in such a Jew should not choose to live in a village where the Yom HaShoku Shabbos, find some other village to live in. Ki Iyev Shoshlo Yechta. Over the course of years, decades, living somewhere, sooner or later, this is going to become an issue. You just have to recognize that. That's but to say that I shouldn't live there because soon I'm going to fall into this sort of subtle Yisrael Miril Nachri. That drives home the significance of this concern. Then the Rama. So those are the two limitations that the Mishnah Berurah places. Again, when I'm not specifying the timing, and although the Malacha is being done on my behalf, excuse me. The malacha is being done by half, but the timing is adait to dinafshe. So again, the Mishnah Berurah said it has to be that I'm not even implying I need it, right? I need him to do it on Shabbos. And circumstances don't force him to do it on Shabbos. Then the Ramah adds a third point, which is very, very significant. This can come up in catering circumstances. It can come up in a variety of situations. Mishnah Sachar in a Yehudi. The Ramah, the end of Sif Dalet. Excuse me. Mishasachar ein Yehudi laholich sechor aso. I hire a non-Jewish trucker, let's say, or a non-Jewish agent of some sort, to deliver my merchandise to my buyer. Uvayin Yehudi lukacha bibeis Yisrael b'Shabbos. So again, working off of what we said before, the Ramah just given the twist on the Mechaber, smag, smag, that not only can I ask a non-Jew to buy on my behalf, I can ask a non-Jew to sell on my behalf, I can give him merchandise of mine as long as he really has the freedom to sell it on Shabbos or off of Shabbos. However, Rama says, but if he's going to come to my house to pick it up, so then that is a problem. And Rama says, in case you don't think this is serious, v'hayu onshin ha'oseh. The practice was to punish a Jew who would take this sort of liberty. Now the question is, so what's the issue? We just said that's mutter. So the answer is that this is a Marazayim. This is, you had Reish and Beis. This is a Marazayim problem. To have a Nachri do a Kabbalah, essentially what we're talking about here is a Kabbalah. Right? I'm hiring him to do a job. He can do it when he wants to. He wants to do it on Shabbos. That's his business. So that's fine, unless it's if it's on Jewish property, it's going to be nikar that he's doing it. So then it looks very much, it's a very serious marasayin that he's acting on my instructions rather than it was his choice to set up this way. So let's say.
So you tell the guy, buy this for me in the shuk anytime next week. Here's my credit card. The Shabbos, he goes in and he says, I'm buying this for Cohen Brothers plumbing. Here you go. It's got the name on the card.
I'm not sure it's the same.
The card is an example, but you have someone who's working for your business.
Right. If the car is marked, that may be different.
It's a business. So, you know, you send them to China to buy fabric for your business. And he's going around, he's shaking hands, he's giving a business card. And your mandate to him was, go buy 100 yards of fabric in China over the next week. And he's going around as your salesman. I mean, any big company has this. You have salesmen going around. Right. I mean, it could be lawyers, it could be doctors, it could be accountants. They're going around on behalf of the business, doing the business, and they don't necessarily have a strict, you have to be there at 9 a.m. Saturday morning. Yantiv, it's even more common. You have any Jewish-owned business,
right,
on Yantiv. You have all kinds of people are acting on behalf of the company.
So now, I'm not sure about Mara. I'm not sure how you have to think some more about how you would define the Mara sign. Even without the Mara sign, though, and this is, again, as you said, even more of a problem Yom Tov and Shabbos, to differentiate between a Kabbalah and a Poel. In other words, if it's a salesman who just needs to get the job done in the next 2 weeks, that's one thing. If I have customer service reps who are hired, so that becomes much more complex. But even to give a simple example, home-based example, is...
By the way, I'll just tell you something quickly. I know B&H, they're very strict about anyone working on Yom Tov or even Chol Hamoed. And not only have they closed, but I have a friend of mine who, I know someone who works in like a senior accounting position, and they monitor his emails, outbound emails on Chol Hamoed even. And he's gotten called into compliance because they said, we saw you were emailing someone on Chol Hamoed.
Wow. That's beautiful.
And they said, you are not allowed to work on Chol Hamoed.
Wow. That is beautiful.
In general, the dinam that dinashi, does that only work if it's so cuts out sol skaro? In other words, but if he's an hourly wage,
yeah,
even if he
yeah.
has the option, in other words, you say, I want you to work.
Yeah, that is. You look back in the Beis Yosef, so there is a split between the smog and the smock. To what extent do you apply katz lo schar from Dafi Tes? But yeah, if he's a poel, I cannot be paying him. Yeah, I can't be paying him to work by the hour to do dvar masurim. But let's even talk about the following. Here's the following situation where it might be less obvious. In other words, let's say you have a caterer in your house. You have a caterer in your house, and you have non-Jewish waiters in the house, and you have a simcha in the house over the course of Shabbos. So you have to think carefully about what you can ask a Nachum to do, what you cannot ask a Nachum to do. And an example of this din would be the following. They had a warmer. They had set up a warmer before Shabbos to use ba'ofen hamutter, and then at some point they're done. So at some point they're going to take the warmer out. So the nacher might say, you tell them, you don't have to take it now, you can take it after Shabbos. Come by Sunday, come by Monday, come by Tuesday, the next couple of days, come by and pick up the warmer. So they say, they may say, I don't want to have to come back. I could. Why should I come back tomorrow? I'm here now. I'll take the warmer out now. So for many things, that would be mutter. But to carry a warmer out of the house, they say we'd rather unplug the warmer now.
Because of the Mara Zion issue.
Yeah, that's this thing. That's the Mara Zion issue. Just carry a warmer out of your house on Shabbos, that's not mutter. If they decide they would rather unplug it, okay, that's their issue.
Yeah, but the call...
You have to stop them in that case.
Yeah, that's
hold on a second. But that's where... The Ramah is talking about where you said, I want you to remove the warmer. You can't tell him, and he can't come and remove the warmer on Shabbos. Here, it has nothing to do with me. You want to remove the warmer. You're going to say, you wanted to remove the warmer because you're going to charge, if you have him there for a week.
You don't want to remove the warmer. I think
you rented it
even if he's mamash, I'll add that to the mamash. The Shmir Shabbos Kachas has a whole long arichos about trying to stop the Nachar, he's trying to reason, and says at some point, just give up. It's a free country. It's a free country. But you really have to make him a call.
Back to the employee example.
Yeah.
If you're, maybe a more common situation is when you're under common when you're under common employee, you're in a team together, maybe you're a superior, but it's not really for your benefit. It's for the common employer benefit. Yeah. Is that really considered for your benefit? You're doing work for a big company.
So. Yeah.
Oh, you're saying it's a colleague.
We told you which I was last week? Thank you very much. Huh? Right. I think it will not be Litzarki. But at the same time, he does also answer to you. So you have to make it clear that mitzidcha, you can get the work done now or later.
Better for you. Better for your advancement in your career if you get it done soon.
I would be careful of how I phrase it. Yeah. Okay. I think we're going to move on next week, Mirtz Hashem, to the other half of this, the other piece of the puzzle. Again, just as the way we opened, I cannot ask a Nachri to shop for me on Shabbos. So one solution is to take out the Shabbos piece. Shop for me, that was we discussed. If the timing is a Daita Nafshe, that can at least in principle can be mutter. The other way to go would be to say, you're not going to shop for me. Shop for yourself. And I'll buy from you. Whereas really the act itself is a Daita Nafshe. And when is that legitimate and when is it not legitimate? We're going to see Bli Neder next week. The discussion Sif Gimel is intertwined with the discussion Sif Chaf Aleph in the Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch. That's why the Imam comments next week. So I put Sif Gimel and Chaf Aleph together. The truth is, it relates to Gemara near the beginning of Yud Tesem and Aleph about this notion of the Nachri acting on his own behalf. The other item in the Imam comments next week is Sif Yud Tes. And the reason why we're jumping is because Amir L'Nachri is not all of Simon Shin Zayin. Simon Shin Zayin is about Isurei Dibur in general. So you have Amir L'Nachri, the first chunk of Amir L'Nachri is Sif and Beis Gimel Dal Hei. And then at the end of the Simon, there are a couple of line items where there's no tour. The Beis Yosef rounds out the discussions that the tour didn't have. So at the end, you have Sif and Yud Tes and on. Talk about some more Amira issues, and specifically Amira L'Nachri. So Chaf Aleph relates to Gimel, and then Yates is a question of Amira L'Nachri Bakam Hefsid. And that's a big issue that will relate potentially also to some of these business conversations. So we'll have to see.